Well, this might be my third chance preaching this week. Got to do a rerun. Amen. Man, I tell you, the meeting has been a blessing. Just almost everything about it has been just perfect. We did have one guy from New York disrespect Stonewall Jackson, but other than that, it's been just right. All the special music has been wonderful, been a blessing. I do think I speak on behalf of many here and millions listening out in internet land that we're sure hoping to hear Brent and Joel and his mother sing together before the week is over. I know the moderator doesn't like to call upon himself, but anybody want to second that? I'd like to hear them sing. Amen. Well, I've got a tough verse this morning. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 13. Get to preach my best charismatic sermon. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That sure is a lot weightier than I can do all things through Him who is my strength. The modern Bibles, they don't know how to use the word which, and so they want to change it to who, but then they change it to who and don't tell you who the who is. They take Christ right out of the verse. And if it's not Christ that's strengthening me, then I'm on my own or left to trust in somebody that's not capable of doing the job. So we're going to talk this morning about what is not being taught in this verse. That won't take but a minute. Then what is being taught in the context. Then hopefully what is being taught by way of application. So let's pray. Father, help us this morning. See truth, know truth, love truth, and leave here living truth. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You cannot divorce any verse of the Bible from its context, and nowhere is that more evident in this verse right here. You cannot fly through Christ which strengtheneth you. You cannot quarterback the Alabama football team through Christ which strengtheneth you. You cannot talk sense into Obama through Christ which strengtheneth you. There are a number of things that are absolutely impossible in this world, and some even in the world to come. And just to quote a verse and name a verse or hang a verse on your wall as a wall plaque doesn't do any good. So we just rule all that out altogether. But secondly, as independent Bible-believing Baptists, we are so afraid of speaking confidently and positively that we want to water down many of these great promises in the Word of God, lest we sound conceited or haughty or proud or something like that. And it is wrong to be conceited, but it is also wrong to fail to be confident where God gives us reason to be confident. And that there's just too much I can't, or I would like to, or if only things were different in our vocabulary and in our language and in our living. And the Bible is a very positive book, even for independent Baptists. And the Holy Spirit said, I can. And we should be able to echo those words and say, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I am tired of saved people telling me they can't become a soul winner, or they can't learn the Bible, or they can't get this out of their life, or they can't overcome that habit. That is not true scripturally. Listen, it would be wrong for you to say the deity of Christ is not taught in the Bible. And we would say, that's terrible for a man not to believe in the deity of Christ. It is terrible for you to not believe that you can attain spiritual perfection through the Holy Ghost. Amen. One is taught in the Bible just as sure as the other. Well, and immediately, all these excuses come to our mind. We want to embrace the factual doctrines of the Bible because they require nothing of us. We want to embrace the intellectual doctrines of the Bible because they stand or fall whether we do anything or not. But when it comes to what the Bible says God can do in us, and God wants to do in us, we begin to argue against them like liberals argue against the intellectual doctrines of the Bible. I'm telling you, there's not a person here this morning who is capable without Christ of living this New Testament, but there is not a person here who is incapable with Jesus Christ, and we need to accept that and embrace that just as surely as we do the Trinity or the Second Coming. Now, in the context, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. By the way, that word which, it introduces a non-essential clause. That sounds bad to say something in the Bible is non-essential. Okay, a non-defining clause. In other words, which is used, what follows doesn't have to be there, but it is supplementary information. It is additional information. I can do all things through Christ. That's all he needed to say. But then he says, which strengtheneth me. And when the King James Bible is vague, it is wonderfully vague. What strengthens me? Christ? Yes. What strengthens me? All the things Christ enables me to do? Yes. Christ enables me to do the things that make me stronger. Christ makes me stronger so I can do the things. Which is it? It is both. He will make you able to do what you're supposed to do, and as he enables you to do what you're supposed to do, you'll become more able to do what you're supposed to do. It's just wonderful. Now, look at the context. We have a context. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Verse 8, you couldn't miss it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever, say it, things. He gives you the things in the lead up to the verse. I can do all things through Christ. Finally, brethren, what sort of things are true? In a world full of liars, Jesus Christ can enable you to never lie. In a world full of misrepresentations and exaggerations and falsehoods, Jesus Christ can enable you to live and speak and be true. Hallelujah. You can do that through Jesus Christ. And there's no excuse for a Christian not being truthful. There's no excuse for a Christian to not be filled with integrity because Jesus Christ can make it happen. Finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are honest, half-truths, misrepresentations, leaving out the part that didn't make me look so good, leaving out the part didn't make her look so good. I sit down with couples in the office, and I always keep this in mind. There's his side, there's her side, and somewhere in between is what really happened. The trouble is, people are, they're not lying, but they're not honest. The child isn't lying to mom and dad. They're just leaving out a few little details. Listen, through Jesus Christ, you can tell and you can live the full truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help you, God. Amen. See, God can help us to be honest in a world that is corrupt. Then the Bible says, whatsoever things are just. Man, there's a lot of iniquity out there. There's so much corruption. There is so, it just seems like there's filth on the billboards and filth coming over the communications. It's just everywhere. But you don't have to live a crooked life or a corrupt life. You can be just in your dealings with others. You can be just in your dealings with God through the strength provided you by the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that a blessing? The Bible says, whatsoever things, there it is again, are pure. In a world where adultery is acceptable behavior, in a world where fornication is promoted, in a world where sodomites parade in the streets, in a world this dirty, you can be clean. In a world where filth is available of every variety at the push of a button on your phone or on your computer, you don't have to look at any of it. You don't have to participate in any of it. Jesus Christ can enable a single man to be pure. He can enable a single young lady to be pure. And maybe until a marriage altar, maybe until the rapture, maybe until death, this world does not have to defile you. This world does not have to get you all messed up. Through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can do this thing. You can be pure in a world that is far from it. Amen. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are lovely. I know. I'm a King James Bible believer. I believe every word in the Bible. And you know, there's a word in that Bible that shows up a lot. It's love. It's love. You don't have to cuss at people. You don't have to swear at people. You don't have to be rude to people. You don't have to be nasty to people to prove that you believe the Bible. That just proves there's parts of the Bible you believe that you don't believe. God doesn't want you to believe the cover. He wants you to believe the contents. And I'm telling you right now, your daddy might have been a mean man that beat you. Your mother might have been low down, good for nothing, went off and left you. You might have been raised in an orphanage where nobody cared about you. You might have grown up out on the street. But I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can teach you to love people. And Jesus Christ can teach you to be lovely while you do it and loving in your day-to-day activities. You might have come from a broken home. Jesus Christ can teach you to be a loving husband and a loving wife. You might have come from a horribly abusive situation. Many people we minister to have just horrible life stories and terrible childhoods. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ can teach you to trust. He can teach you to open up your heart. He can teach you to be confident in a relationship. You can learn to love through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't sit there, well, I just can't love anybody. You don't know how I was raised. You don't know what I've been through. I just could never love anybody again. Through Jesus Christ, you can do even that thing. Praise the Lord. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are of good report. Now, this is real simple. Because some of you date and some of you court and some of you arrange. We all do the same thing. We just have different names for it so we can argue about which of us are doing it the right way. But listen, here's the real simple rule. What is acceptable conduct if you could report on it Sunday morning in front of the congregation? Help yourself. What's acceptable to watch?
Well, we don't watch movies. We don't watch TV. We just watch video.
Yeah, okay, look, whatever. If you would show it to the church on the big screen, go ahead and watch it. If you wouldn't want the whole congregation to see it, turn it off. All right, look, it's just real simple. Now, look, here's what he said. Jesus Christ has sufficient strength to allow you to live a life that you would not mind being reported. How about that? I'm not talking about just come to church and make it look right. I'm talking about leaving church and it's still being right. Jesus Christ is strong enough for your private hours. He's strong enough for your vacation hours. He's strong enough for your on-the-job hours. He can strengthen you to the point where you... People say, we say it all the time. I tell you, I sure am dreading that judgment seat of Christ. Man, I hope nobody's around and I do. I sure hope I'm not. Look, we all say that. Why do we talk as though it's inevitable that we're going to be put to shame at the judgment seat of Christ? That is not supposed to be our anticipation. We are supposed to be living in such a way that if everybody was watching and they did replay our life, which would be a really weird thing to do in heaven, but if they did, you'd say, watch this, mine's up next. And it wouldn't be bragging, it wouldn't be conceit, it would be, look what Jesus Christ did with me. See, we're so afraid of somebody thinking we're bragging. We're so afraid of somebody thinking we're proud. I say, and every time I make this statement at our church or some other church, people draw back like it's, you know, well, you shouldn't have said that. I hear Christians all the time say, well, now don't get me wrong, I'm no better than you. You're supposed to be. You're telling me you're saved, you're born again, you got the Holy Spirit living inside you, you're in a Bible-preaching church for decades, and the best you can say to a lost man or a carnal Christian is, don't get me wrong, I'm no better than you. What an insult to Jesus Christ. What a denial of what he gave us when he saved us. I can, finally, my brethren, I can live a life of virtue. I can live a life of praise. I can. He said, think on these things. And verse number 9, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do. Things. Brother Thompson preached the other night, and a room full of people sat and thought, man, that's too high. That's too much. Nobody can expect that of anybody. Jesus expects it of everybody. He expects every single one of us to live an exemplary life, and he has promised the provision necessary to make it happen. If you heard that message the other night and said, I could never do that, that is the same as saying, I do not believe in the deity of Christ. You are denying clear truth in the Bible. Come on, that's the context. The things he preached about are the things addressed in verse number 13. I can be, what our brother preached this morning, content in all things, up, down, good, bad, blessed, unhappy. Well, I could never do that. That is equivalent to saying I don't believe Christ will reign on a throne at Jerusalem. It is not humility to deny the scriptures. It is not humility to say God can't do what he said he would do. It sounds like we're being humble. It sounds like we're making sure that we don't exalt ourselves and puff ourselves. But what we're doing is we're talking ourselves into coming short of the mark. We're talking ourselves into settling for less than what God has for us. And he said everything in that list, everything in that book of Philippians, everything in that New Testament written to or for and about a Christian, Jesus Christ is strong enough to do it, and he lives inside of you. Jesus Christ is strong enough to do it, and he wants to take control of your members, your eyes, your ears, your thoughts, your hands, your feet, and work in you his power, his righteousness, his truth, his purity, his virtue, and it is a denial of Scripture to settle for less. It is a denial of the Word of God to just mumble around and muddle along and say, well, you know, I can't be any, I'm just doing the best I can, and I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And you know what all that is? Those are the excuses of somebody who doesn't want to try. You can be better than what you are. You can do more than what you're doing. And it's not a matter of talent. It's not a matter of ability. It's not a matter of training. It's not a matter of upbringing. It is Christ, Christ, Christ which strengtheneth me. It would be terrible if a sinner said, I don't trust Jesus to save my soul. And you'd rebuke him for it. It's terrible for a saved man to say, Christ can't strengthen me sufficiently to live this life. It's the same heart of unbelief. It's the same rejection of Scripture. I'm telling you, young men, young ladies, everybody in between, young people in our church used to be teenagers. Now it's reaching up into the 40s. That category of young people just keeps growing. We were sitting the other night with some people at the table, and one fellow said so-and-so looking pretty good to be in the 70s, and somebody else said so-and-so is looking really good to be in late 60s. And I said, they're just looking good because they're looking like us. If you were 15, you wouldn't think they were looking good. Now I'm telling you right now, if you're 18, there is no reason you can't do everything the preachers here this week have done and more. You just got to trust Jesus. If you are here tonight, this morning, you're 60, there is no reason you can't finish as well as Paul the Apostle finished through Christ. We have got to stop accepting failure and mediocrity and carnality and imperfection, because it is not what Jesus Christ has for every one of us. Amen. And don't listen, don't let Osteen and Hinn and all those guys, don't let them rob you of truth. Don't be afraid to embrace something the Bible says just because somebody's got other stuff messed up, proclaims it. There is victory in Jesus over your habits and your vices and your personality and your upbringing and your training and your IQ and all the rest of that. Everything we hold up to God and say, I can't because of this, he answers, you can because of Christ. And we need to make more of Jesus and less of what we are. We need to make more of what's available to us through our second birth and less of what we are by our first birth. Praise God. All right, let's come to Exodus. Now let's make some application here. Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus 4. If I had a favorite man in the Bible apart from Jesus, it would be Moses. You pastored 2 million people for 40 years. and die sane. You got something going for you, man. And his assistant pastor wasn't what we've got. Moses took a 6-week furlough, and by the time he came back, the whole church gone contemporary. Now look at Exodus chapter number 4. Exodus 4, this Moses, God's going to send Moses down into Egypt to do face-to-face battle with Pharaoh. He's going to bring down the world's great empire and lead the Israelites out of slavery after 450 years. You say, no, God did that. God could have done it, but he sent Moses to do it. You understand? God could have just killed all the Egyptians without any Passover lamb. God could have just brought the Hebrew children of Israel out of Egypt in the middle of the night. If a dog don't bark as 2 million people go out of town, the army's not going to catch them. God doesn't want them to. But he sent Moses down there to do it. Okay, now Moses gets the call. Well, if God just called me, I'm just waiting for God to call me. Moses got a call. It don't matter if you're called of God if you don't answer. Doesn't matter if you got God's calling on your life if you're not willing to do it. You guys sitting around waiting for God to call you, why don't you go and wait for him to call you back? Amen. Well, if God calls me, I'll go to the mission. Why don't you go and make him sink the boat? People ask me all the time, say, preacher, when were you called to preach? I say, I don't know if I was. I just started and God hadn't stopped me. That's the truth. I'm not making that up. I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what it means. I didn't see a handwriting on the wall. I didn't have any experience. I just meant somebody's got to do this. Needs to be done. Let's do it. God hadn't called me. He'll whip me to judgment seat. That's what they say. I don't believe that either. Exodus 4:10, and Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Okay, forget it. Oh, sorry, Moses, my bad. Oh, wait, you're right. You know, I forgot. Verse 11, and the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? You think I don't know you got speaking problems? You think I don't know you're not the most dynamic man in the desert? Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? If you couldn't speak at all, I could use you. If you couldn't hear, I could use you. If you couldn't see and needed somebody to guide you by the hand, I could use you. Moses, it's not you, it's me, but I want to do it through you. Verse 12, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. You know what God wants you to do this morning? He doesn't want you to say, I can't go on visitation, I wouldn't know what to say. He said, you take your mouth and let me use it. Get your mouth in the van. Get your mouth out of the van. Get your mouth up the driveway. Get your mouth to the front door and let me speak. Amen. Now listen, Moses accomplished more than he thought possible. Moses accomplished more than he was convinced he could do. Moses had to be persuaded by God that a man without natural ability and natural talents and natural gifts could receive sufficient strength from the Lord to do an unbelievable job. And he did. So there's probably some people go off to Bible school and Bible college who are tremendously qualified and never amount to anything. And there's people go off to Bible college just barely get by. But you know what? 20 years later, 30 years later, 40 years later, there are churches established and missionary outposts established and souls won and bus ministries going and youth programs going. You know why? Because one guy had ability but not God, and the other guy took his lack of ability and gave himself completely to the Lord. And that's what he's looking for. That's what he's looking for. Look in your Bible in Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter number 1. Too many I can'ts. Too many I don't have this. I don't have that. You got Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I may never be swift of speech. I may always be slow of speech, but I can speak for Jesus Christ. That's the Moses example. Now, Jeremiah. Bible says here in Jeremiah chapter number 1, or verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Okay, so from conception, God has a work for Jeremiah to do. In the womb, God has a work for Jeremiah to do. At birth, God has a work for Jeremiah to do. So before Jeremiah was Jeremiah, God had a wonderful job, a wonderful task for Jeremiah to carry out. Now, Jeremiah, who shows up about an eternity after God, Jeremiah, who's maybe 15, 16, 18, 19 years old, says to the Ancient of Days, says to the Alpha, says to the beginning, says to the Creator of the heavens and the earth, verse 6, then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now, don't you, look at the humility of Jeremiah. Look at the humble spirit in Jeremiah. Look at how he's so meek and lowly and unwilling to lift up himself and be thought of as being conceited. No, he just told God, you don't know what you're talking about. This kid just said to the Lord, now listen to me. I know you're God and everything, and I know you got this plan and all that stuff, and I know before the womb and all, but listen, I have put a great deal of thought into this. And I've decided, God, you have overstated my abilities. You have overestimated my potential, and so I want to inform you, God, that you got it wrong. I can't do the job. I don't want you to be proud. I don't want you to be conceited, but I don't want you to use you as an excuse to do less than what God can do with you. You don't have to be haughty. You don't have to be a big head, but you are supposed to be supremely confident in the ability of Jesus Christ to make you everything that God can make you. And to settle for less, and to be content with less, and to even try and justify it with some misreading of Scripture is not humility. It is not walking in a humble spirit. It is denying the truth of the Word of God. If I said Jesus Christ created the heavens and the earth, and you said I believe in evolution, I'd say you're wrong. The Bible says creation. And if I said God wanted to use you like he's never used any man before, never used any woman before, that you could do everything and more than any of these men you've heard preach this week, it is just as wrong for you to say I don't believe that as it is for you to say I believe in evolution, not creation. Stop limiting the Holy One. Stop pretending that it is a sign of humility to resist the Holy Spirit. Now, if you just read Jeremiah saying, Lord, I'm too young, I can't do this, it would sound like he's speaking honorably. But he's saying that in reply to God who said, go do this. Why can't you be a missionary? Why can't you be a pastor? Why can't you be a music leader? Why can't you be a deacon? Why can't you win souls? Why can't you be a pillar in the church? Why can't you be the best wife a man ever had? Why can't you be the best husband a woman ever had? Why can't you be the best parent a child ever had? You can. You can through Jesus Christ who strengthens you. Too many excuses. Too many alibis. Too many ways out. Bible says in verse number 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have set thee this day over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. You know what that is? That's a kid. You know what that is? That's somebody with no training. You know what that is? That's somebody with no qualifications. You know who that is? That's somebody who's keenly aware of their inability to get the job done. And God said, you without me are nothing. But you with me, you pull that nation down, you build that nation up, you bring that kingdom into ruin, you allow that kingdom to abide. Who's that? That's a nobody with God. Well, preacher, I'm just nobody. That's terrible. But if you're nobody with God, that's unlimited. It's absolutely unlimited. I went to college. I went to secular college. In fact, I've been to six of them. I wouldn't recommend it, but I enjoy it. I'm still taking classes. I just thing to. Anyway, so what, my first year in college, everybody had to take this thing called a human potential seminar. And you just sat around and were told how to believe in yourself and told how to have confidence in yourself. And all these kids graduate from college believing in themselves, and they make a total flop out of their life because they believe in themselves. God's not asking you to believe in yourself. Last day of class, the teacher said, now I want everyone to give yourself a grade. And these people all writing down B, B minus. See, I gave myself an A plus. I believed in myself. But you know what? The Lord is not asking you to believe in yourself. He's asking you to give yourself in belief to him. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Much has been said this week about the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Oh, if I had what Paul had. Oh, if I had the ability Paul had, if I had the training Paul had, if I had the power Paul had. Well, let's see what Paul said about Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. For his testimony, you might invite Paul to a meeting like this. But having heard him preach on cassette, that's what they used back in Paul's day, before CDs and all that. If you had heard Paul preach on cassette, you wouldn't have invited him to be one of the speakers in your meeting. So how do you know? Read it. 1 Corinthians 2, 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. Now, you think he's lying? You think he's telling the truth? Some of you are not sure. You don't want to commit. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ, him crucified, and I was with you in weakness and in fear, and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, which of you would ever in your mind have imagined Paul afraid to get up in front of a group of people and preach? Trembling while he did so. That's what he said, and the Holy Spirit put it in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? You know, last 5 years or so, not counting street preaching, I've preached over 600 times a year. That's a lot of preaching. And I sit, this is the truth for God. I sit here on a Thursday morning while Brother Steve is preaching. I am so scared to get up in front of you. I am so afraid of saying something wrong or doing something wrong or misleading you in some way. I know that you could listen to, you could have brought anybody in the world in here and you got me getting, listen, I am, and the same time, God, thank you for teaching me your word. God, thank you for showing me this truth. God, if you'll let me get this across these people, it'll be a help. God, I will do this for you if you'll just let me. Lord, if you'll let me live 100 years, I'll do this. I'll do this as long as I got a brain in my head. And I don't want to walk in here this morning and face you. I don't want to get up in front of you and speak. And yet I can't wait to do it. And that hasn't changed. That hadn't changed. I am not sufficient for this, and neither are you. I am not capable of this, and neither are you. But if Jesus Christ can build a church and he's in heaven and I'm down here, he's going to have to do it through me. And if the Holy Spirit can save sinners and he's in me, he's going to have my cooperation. And none of you should be conceited. And none of you should have an ego problem. And all of you should be humble. But it is not humility to say I can't when God said you can. And we need to stop looking at our weaknesses and look at his strength. And we need to stop looking at our inability and become confident in his ability. I can do all things through Christ. That is not a charismatic mantra. That's the Holy Bible. Man, my mother, she's such a godly lady. I love my mother. She's been such a blessing to me my entire life. My father taught me as an old-fashioned man taught a son back in the day. But I'm telling you, I sit here and I listen to Brother Thompson talk about his daddy opening a Bible and sitting at the living room table and reading him the Bible. I never had that. I've been here when Joel's granddaddy would preach and his mom and dad and how they've loved God and served God, and Joel and his brother stand up and sing, talk about it. I didn't have that. I got saved reading a Bible by myself after being out in the world on a Friday night and a Saturday night. I'd come home all messed up and under such conviction that I wouldn't go to sleep till I read the Bible. That's not the way you're supposed to do it. I got saved in a church that was totally apostate. Everything you preached against this week, that church did it. Just about everything you believe, that church didn't believe it. We weren't preaching on the street for the first time because we read about it in the Bible. We never had a seminar. We just, well, look what they did. Let's go try that. We read a verse in Acts that said house to house. Well, let's try that. We weren't in a church that taught house to house soul winning or visitation. We didn't know what we were doing. We found out about the King James Bible, going to church and hearing men correct the Bible and talk about what was wrong with the Bible, and we decided that can't be right. We didn't know what we were doing. I went to secular college. Started preaching. You know why? It's in my heart. Started winning people to the Lord. You know why? God blessed. Started a church. I couldn't trace my apostolic authority back to a man that wasn't even part of the New Testament church. I didn't know what I was doing. I became an independent Baptist by default. I got tired of people jumping up talking in tongues while I was trying to preach. I'm telling you, I haven't done any of this the way you're told it's supposed to be done. I've had none of your advantages. I've had none of your training. I've had none of your connections. I sat up all night and taught myself the Bible. I worked a full-time job and came home at night and kissed my wife and kissed my children and went out and won people to the Lord, put a church together, had somebody destroy it, went out and started another one, and God has blessed it. Listen, in 1 month, we have had people sitting in their homes, in their tents, in their cells, wherever they are, in over 120 countries listening to me preach on the internet, and I don't have what you have. I just figured I was going to do whatever I could for God. And if he didn't want me to do it, he'd have to stop me. And he hadn't seen fit to stop me. And I'm sorry if I don't have the pedigree that you think I should have, and I don't have the connections you think I should have, and you got some questions about my background. Well, fine. And if God's done this with me, how about you that grew up in a family like you've grown up in and a church like you've grown up in and had the training that you've had and been in meetings like this all your life? Stop making excuses and do something for the Lord. Stop talking about your limitations and look at the strength of Jesus Christ. Stop complaining about the flaws in your character and the defects in your person. There is nobody in America whose personality makes them less qualified to pastor than me. I'm just telling you, there is nothing about this that comes easy for me. There's nothing about this that comes natural for me. There's nothing about this, what the Bible talks about being meat and things fitting together. That's not me. But somebody had to do it in my town. And so I'm doing it. God gets somebody better, he can kick me out and they can take it over. We got guys we sent out the mission field. People say, well, you know, they're not, you think they're completely qualified? No, there's nobody there now, so they'll be the best qualified person there when they get there. Amen. We're so concerned that we got the right diploma and we got the right background and we got the right connection and our hair parts properly and we passed all the personality tests and we took the spiritual gifts exam and this is, I know I'm in the right place. Why don't you just do something for God? Stop waiting for the perfect situation. Stop waiting for the perfect situation. Stop waiting for everything to fall in place and the stars to align, a sign from God and the Holy Ghost to knock you down the Damascus Road. Why don't you just do something? Amen. You'd be surprised what the Lord can do, as we heard earlier this week, with somebody that's willing. Christ can make you able. You just got to be willing. One verse and I'll finish. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we'll do something real charismatic here. 1 Timothy 1, because I'm charismatic. I'm gifted. Are you gifted? How many of you got a spiritual gift? See, we're all charismatics. Only difference, we can control ours. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. If God, look, over here, look, this side. If God can find you faithful, he can make you able. Right here, middle section. If God can find you faithful, he can make you able. Right over here. If God can find you faithful, he can make you able. All right, now together, all of us together. You ready? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You believe that? You don't sound like you do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, with conviction. Like you mean it. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now we're going to bring our false humility and our excuses and our weaknesses and our I can'ts because of this and I couldn't because of that, and we're going to bring them to this altar and repent of it. And we're going to tell God that from now on we're not going to be haughty, we're not going to be proud, we're not going to be conceited, but we're going to stop denying the truth that he can do more with us than we think he can. I can do. Me. How much more you? I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me.